now what went wrong?
Beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
And now, here they are, the most daredevil group of daddy drivers to ever whirl their wheels in the wacky races, competing for the title of the world's wackiest racers. The cars are approaching the starting line. First is the Turbo Terrific, driven by Peter Perfect. Next, Rufus Roughcut and Sawtooth in the Buzz Wagon. Maneuvering for position is the Army Surplus Special. Right behind is the Ant Hill Mob in their bulletproof bomb. And there's ingenious inventor, Pat Pending, in his converter car. Oh, and here's the lovely Penelope Pitstop, the glamour gal of the gas pedal. Next, we have the Bouldermobile with the Swag Brothers, Rock and Gravel. Lurching along is the creepy coupe with the gruesome twosome. And right on their tail is the Red Max. And there's the Arkansas Chugabug with Luke and Blubber Bear. Sneaking along last is that mean machine with those double-dealing do-batters, Dick Dastardly and his sidekick, Muttley. And even now, they're up to some dirty trick, and they're off to a standing start. And why not? They've been chained to a post by shifty Dick Dastardly, who shifts into the wrong gear. And away they go on the way out wacky races.
Hello and welcome to the 28th episode of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am your host, Dave Joe and Mike, and today I am joined for the first time in a long time since episode zero of Tooncast Beyond, Mr. Optimus Solo. Hello.
Yes, I was tired of listening to people who claim to be experts, so I had to make my...
Did I just stir the pot?
I had to come back to the show. Let some sensible minds take over.
But they are not essentially, outside of He-She-Ra Man, they're not essentially wrong, because it was a terrible era of Filmation. Outside of the...
Filmation was great.
No, not really.
Just because they use a lot of stock animation and
No. It's no. I'm talking like Filmation Ghostbusters. I'm sorry, that show sucks.
I like Filmation Ghostbusters.
Something wrong with you.
You need to watch it more.
Anyway.
But it's good to be here.
Yes, and today we are jumping back in the DeLorean for another Tooncast Beyond DeLorean Time episode with our heading set for 1968 and the Wacky Races.
Yes.
Yes, and as you all know from us doing DeLorean Times, essentially we go back to the old Tooncast format, so I'm going to let you take it with your history lesson, sir.
This format's old as dirt.
You created it, not us.
I know, I may or may not have created it. Wacky Races is an animated television series produced by none other than the legendary Hanna-Barbera. The series features 11 different cars racing against each other in various road rallies throughout North America, with each driver hoping to win the title of World's Wackiest Racer.
Throughout North America, isn't it the entire world that they're racing through? Because I saw episodes where they were going from France to Australia.
Most of the time it was North America. There may have been a few episodes where it wasn't, but it was on CBS from September of 1968 to January 1969. So it was just a very short-lived one season, 17 episodes show. Each episode featured two different races. And the cartoon had an unusually large number of regular characters because we have 11 different racing cars. We actually had 23 people and animals spread amongst those 11 cars, plus the unseen and never identified race announcer. So obviously this show has been rerun on Cartoon Network, Boomerang, et cetera, et cetera. But that is your history lesson on the wacky, spectacular races.
Yes. I love these.
Such a great idea for a cartoon.
As a kid, between this and something we'll be talking about in a few weeks here on Tooncast Beyond, between this and Laugh Olympics, this was great because you've got, you know, the Sledge Brothers, who are essentially two versions of Captain Caveman. Dastardly and Muttley.
Did you just call them the Sledge Brothers?
Yeah.
The Slag Brothers?
Slag, Sledge, whatever.
You're getting Dinobots in here.
Peter Perfect and Penelope Pitstop and the Ant Hill Mob and all, just essentially bringing Hanna-Barbera's characters into one cartoon.
Well, the difference here is that unlike Laugh Olympics, Laugh Olympics, you're using all basically established characters for the most part.
Right.
This one, I thought what kind of was the appeal for this is not only was it the first one kind of to do this format, where it's kind of a smorgasbord of different characters that seem to be from different shows, but this one's different than Laugh Olympics because for the most part, this one is unknown characters or original characters. Now, some of them have been seen in other shows, and a lot of them will be seen in future shows.
Mm-hmm.
But there's kind of an original, unique aspect of introducing us to some newer type characters. Now, I know some of them are harken back to like the days of theatrical shorts, and some of them, you know, have been seen before. But it's not like all-star
right.
cast like Laugh Olympics is.
Yeah. Well, then I must have watched these after I saw those other because I had seen Penelope Pitstop and the Ant Hill Mob, and I had seen Dastardly and Muttley beforehand. Because
right, but they actually, this is where they originally appeared, and then they were spun off into their own series.
Right.
So right. this is actually responsible for us having those
cartoons,
shows.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Ant Hill Mob is part of Penelope Pitstop.
Penelope Pitstop, yeah.
So there was multiple. I mean, not all of them ended up being successful and going on to be in starring their own show, but definitely Penelope Pitstop and Dastardly and Muttley. So that's why I'm saying this is kind of unique because it was all basically new characters that we're seeing.
Yeah. And it was cool because, you know, I remember, you know, wanting to at least be a spectator at one of those races or, you know, see Dick Dastardly fail. And the announcer making fun of him for failing.
Well, it was cool because not only did you have like 11 different cars and like as I said, 20 some different people in this race format where it's basically constantly a race, you get to see all different hijinks and you get to bounce around from this character to this character to this car to that car. And it's never boring. Like this is, I don't know why there's not more cartoons like this for this ADD generation. I know that's not politically correct, but. but this is something that would keep a kid's attention these days because there's not a dull moment.
Well, I mean, because that's the thing. It was like every car had something different. Like this, what are they, Slacker? I don't know.
Slag.
The two Captain Caveman knockoffs.
Bouldermobile.
Yeah. You know, each car was something different. Penelope Pitstop's car essentially did nothing. I mean, she had an umbrella on it when she fell off a cliff.
The compact pussycat?
Yeah. There's a whole lot of jokes right there. I know there is.
Yes, there is, and we'll leave that alone.
So, talk about a nip and tuck.
Yeah, exactly. But I just remember good things. I just remember it being fun. I remember it being unique. I remember liking that there's such a variety of characters. It's just fun from the beginning to the end.
It is.
They don't make them like this anymore.
Sadly, they don't. Not at all. You know, and honestly, you know, kind of talking about the characters, I guess. Even though they never won, you kind of almost wanted them to win once. Dastardly and Muttley in the Mean Machine 00. I absolutely love Dastardly and Muttley.
Yeah, they're great. The combination of Dastardly, you know, being the bumbling brain villainous character and Muttley being like the sidekick that has a ruthless streak but also has that like I don't care, like I'm just going to laugh at you cuz you're being stupid. Like Muttley's laugh is awesome.
Everybody loves Muttley's laugh.
You can't not love Muttley's laugh.
I mean, Muttley's laugh is essentially a lower toned version than Scooby's laugh.
Yeah.
Because they're both voiced by Don Messick.
Right.
But
it's just a little bit different. It's like I used to imitate that laugh all the time just because it's like, it's just so fun.
Yeah, between the laugh and the resin, just you know that dog is swearing.
Right.
You just know it. But it was just so funny.
They're an easy favorite as far as one of the cars. My other two cars that I really liked, one was the Slag Brothers in the Bouldermobile one. Mm-hmm. Just because I love Captain Caveman.
Yeah.
And then these are kind of two versions of that. And just like hitting each other over the head, almost like that, you know, Captain Caveman type, you know, the Bouldermobile, just, it was just fun because they were like the dummies.
Yeah.
And obviously that was reused for Captain Caveman later on. And the other one I really liked, was the Anthill Mob and the Bulletproof Bomb.
Yep.
I just love the Anthill Mob.
They are so funny.
So great. Now, you don't always get the same mob throughout their history. Sometimes different people appear. Like this one, you have Clyde and Ring-a-Ding are the two that actually speak.
Yeah.
And then there's five others that don't really speak. And, you know, and you get different characters when it gets spun off into Penelope Pit Stop and whatnot. But Ring-a-Ding is just hilarious.
Yeah.
And Clyde is just perfect as the leader of the Anthill Mob. And I just love that there's like seven of them bunched into that car.
Yeah.
So those are probably some of my favorite cars.
Yeah. For me, it was the Mean Machine, Dashley and Muttley, and the Anthill Mob. I like those two the best. with the Anthill Mob, when they got spun off, they were riding in a living car called Chug-a-Boom. And Chug-a-Boom was awesome. But I mean, essentially in this for Wacky Races, their goal is almost the same as when they get to the spinoff series. They're like, we have to save Miss Penelope no matter what. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're bad guys, but they're not.
Right, exactly.
So they just muck things up, and it's great. I mean, we should probably mention some of the other cars because some other people will have them as their favorites, but the Gruesome Twosome and the Creepy Coupe.
Yep.
Which was Little Gruesome and Big Gruesome.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what it Little Gruesome was like a little purple, like, he is the boss, kind of, and Big Gruesome was the big oaf. So that was kind of an interesting, kind of like a spun on the Addams Family / Munsters, you know, whatever you want to go with that. Right. I love the name of the next one. Professor Patent Pending in the Convertacar.
Yeah.
He's just basically a scientist. Just kind of a, I don't know, I guess he is an interesting character, but looks like he's out of place.
Yeah, I don't know if it's me just hearing it wrong, but I could have swore the narrator said Professor Patent Pending. I didn't think he said Pat. I thought he said Patent.
Yeah, it just makes it sound like that because he goes so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he has lots of gadgets because he's like a scientist, so he's got that going for him. And his car is kind of like a boat-shaped airplane-type car.
Yeah, like a Convertacar, yeah.
Yeah. And you had the Red Baron, I mean, the Red Max, in the Crimson Hay Baler. What the freaking, eh? Combination, obviously, of the Red Baron and the Blue Max. And his car is kind of like a hybrid.
Yeah.
Before hybrids were invented.
Yes.
Of course, we mentioned the compact pussycat with Penelope Pitstop. I can't say that without laughing. Oh, fancy pink convertible. Sergeant Blass and Private Meekly in the Army Surplus Special.
I love the Army. I love the vehicle. I don't really care for the characters.
But yeah, I don't care for the characters, vehicle. But the vehicle is, it's like a race tank.
Yeah, essentially.
And Luke and Blubber Bear in the Arkansas Chug-a-Bug. That's just fun to say. I'm sorry. And they're kind of just your typical Southern, like, I don't want to say rednecks, but that's what they are.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to Rufus Roughcut and Sawtooth and the Buzzwagon.
Yep.
They both kind of play a similar stereotype. And then Peter Perfect in the Turbo Terrific. I did not like Peter Perfect.
No, Peter Perfect was the character that just didn't care about.
He has a crush on Penelope.
Yeah.
And he's just annoying.
Yep.
Which car did you like the best?
As far as like the gadgetry of the car, mm-hmm. as far as what it did, I liked the Buzzwagon a little bit. Because I thought that was kind of cool. I love the Surplus Special, so that'd probably be the one I pick.
Yeah.
I like the Mean Machine simply for the constant backfiring and everything going wrong.
Yeah, I can see that. I like that. There's some parts of the converter car that are cool, but not as cool as some of the other ones. I mean, honestly, the Mean Machine is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the Mean Machine is like a roadster of that day. I mean, it looks like a souped up. I know it's not a convertible, but it's like a souped up Mustang or a souped up Chevy Camaro, whatever.
Right.
But it looks like that kind of car if that car happened in this time period.
The names of the car are just cool.
Yeah.
And the fact that the announcer uses them and calls them by their name or by their number and stuff like that. He's like, oh, here comes, Peter Perfect and the Turbo Terrific.
Yep.
Just fun. And not only do you get all those cool characters and cool cars.
You get the narrator.
You get the narrator that's helping out things.
Every episode is introduced and commented on by an unseen narrator, voiced by Dave Willock, who often communicates with the racers as they drive. The racers respond by speaking to the audience, breaking the fourth wall. Dick Dastardly has oddly nicknamed the narrator Boopsie, used as a female character's nickname in Doonesbury shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I love the interaction between them. I love the breaking the fourth wall before, before the days of Animaniacs or Tiny Toons or all that.
Or Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, it was just fun to see it in the cartoon like this, where you have the narrator who is almost like the race announcer, but then he can communicate with the people as they're racing.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And
that's a kind of, that's a thing of this era of animation, though. It's not just with Rocky Races. There was other shows with narrators.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That did that.
And that's what made them fun, because you kind of could relate to them.
Yeah,
and
that's what made them great, yeah.
It made it more real, because it wasn't just some show.
Yeah.
It was something where, oh, these people are actually, with us, and they're communicating with us.
Yep.
And then, of course, with all things Hanna-Barbera, usually, for the most part, you get an epic voice cast.
Epic voice cast, my ass. Look at this list. Dawes Butler, Don Messick, John Stevenson, Janet Waldo, Paul Winchell, and Dave Willock.
You said my ass like I was wrong.
Shut up.
No, my favorite voices for this one, Paul Winchell as Dick Dastardly, is just amazing. I love Paul Winchell, and I love this particular voice. He's used it for other characters. It's kind of like the same as like Gargamel on Smurfs, which he'll use later on, but he just does that voice so perfectly.
Yeah,
I think Muttley and Don Messick with his laugh is great, and I think Don Messick is also great as Ring-a-Ding. So those are probably my favorite voices out of the cast.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Well, you can't go wrong with those guys. I mean, they literally has four of the most famous male voices of all time.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me so sad that we can't talk to these guys. Because can you imagine what a Tooncast interview would be with Don Messick? I mean, not just for these characters that we're talking about today, but just in general. Same thing with Paul Winchell and, Dawes Butler and John Stevenson. I mean, oh my God.
Just the amount of stuff they did.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't like the amount of animation that was happening then is literally, I mean, almost as much as there is today. And, but you only had this small group of people doing the voices. And before I became, a part of Behind the Voice Actors and doing this stuff and really paying attention, like, you did not grow up knowing that you were listening to, five people, six people doing all the voices and all the shows that you were watching when you were really little.
Right, yeah.
You know, the theatrical shorts, the Disney stuff, the Hanna-Barbera stuff. I mean, it's such a small group of geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
Where it really mattered, and the thing is, I think people don't realize the difference in voice acting then to voice acting now, because now you get so much, you have the CG, you have the animation, you have all the visuals. Whereas back then you had to sell it on your voice performance.
Right. But even now though, I've noticed that people will like voice directors and casting directors for animation will go back to a person that they've worked with before. Like, I've said this before. At this point in time, in 2012, since November of 2011 to May of this year, every superhero or action cartoon I've seen since last November has had Kevin Michael Richardson.
Right.
I mean, that guy is everywhere. Right. It's awesome. I don't. I'm not saying that it's not an awesome, but even today, in today's standards, you still have a small niche group.
You do, but I guess what I'm saying is back then,
it was smaller. It wasn't.
It wasn't necessarily just about the size. It was a different art. It wasn't. There was more into creating the voice and really tailoring it to a specific thing.
Right.
And you know, these guys like Don Messick and Dawes Butler and Paul Winchell and Stevenson, et cetera, Mel Blanc, like they knew all of the different accents. They knew all of the different famous voices of the radio day. And yeah. They just were more in tune of really creating not just a voice, but something that just is – there's something about the art form there that's different than today. I'm not saying that people aren't as good today, but it's just right. A different type of – there's not as much of this artistry in creating the voice.
Right.
And these guys are just geniuses in creating. Like, I mean, Paul Winchell's Dick Dastardly is – I mean, people today look back at these guys and try to do voices like – oh, put a little Paul Winchell in that, or put a little, you know, John Stevenson in that. Like, these guys are just iconic.
Yes, they are. So I guess we should get into a little bit of the background of the show.
Yes.
One of the unused plans for the series was that the races would be part of a live-action quiz show made by Merrill Heather and Bob Quigley Productions, in which contestants would bet on which wacky racer would cross the finish line first. Although the game show concept was eventually scrapped, the series still retained a Hanna-Barbera-Heath Quigley dual production credit. I don't think that... I'm glad that was scrapped, because that's a cartoon that's going to teach kids to bet. Seriously?
I mean, I can see the interaction and the want to do that and whatnot, but I don't think from a logistics standpoint it would be possible.
Yeah.
It's also said that the show was inspired by the film The Great Race with Natalie Wood basically becoming Penelope Pitstop. Dick Dastardly was based on Jack Lemmon's character, Professor Fate, and Dastardly's sidekick, Muttley, was loosely based on Peter Falk's Max Mean.
Yeah.
So had some history in that too.
Yeah. What did you think of the music of this show?
I thought the music was great, and that's one thing that they had to have in a race show. They had to keep something that was going to be upbeat. I mean, it's a race. You can't have something slow. You can't have something. You know, you're not going to get like the building crescendo that you're going to get in like an action film or an action show. Mm-hmm. Where you have to get people pumped up for the action scene that's about to happen. It's a race, so you consistently need a soundtrack carrying the cars through the course. And I thought they did a magnificent job. It's probably one of the better, from as far as like a theme and background music, it's probably one of the best Hanna-Barbera had.
Yeah.
Just because of the necessity that the music was almost a central player.
Yeah, it was. I mean, everything in Wacky Races had to be there for it to be what it was. Because you couldn't have the show without the narrator, couldn't have the show without the quote-unquote villains of Dastardly and Muttley. You couldn't have the show without the music.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the same.
Right. And I also want to, you know, kind of skipped over a little bit, but as far as like the actual show, getting into just the music too, the fun part about this actual show was all the different hijinks.
Oh, yeah. You know,
all the different booby traps, all the different schemes that different cars would come up with to try to get past, you know, try to get ahead.
Yeah.
And then the ways that the cars would try to cope or recover when a trap was sprung on them.
Yeah.
Like, there was just... And it wasn't like... I know you kind of see Dastardly and Muttley as the bad characters, but the rest of them are kind of like there's a gray area.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're not bad.
Right.
But they're doing some underhanded things to try to get ahead. Yep. You know, some are more by the book than others.
Yeah.
But there's not necessarily bad and good characters outside of Dastardly and Muttley.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I hated Peter Perfect or whatever his name was. And whereas I had a little bit more like for Pat Pending, you know, you liked your individual players, but you always were looking for what are they going to do to get ahead? Like, is the dragon going to come out of the gruesome twosome car and take them ahead? Is Pat Pending going to, you know, have some type of gadget that he uses? And it allowed, I mean, obviously there was only 17 episodes.
Right.
But it allowed every one of those races, the 34 races, to be completely different.
Exactly. And it's not just about the hijinks of Dick Dastardly and Muttley. It's about the hijinks of the entire race team. Because look at the title, Wacky Races. It's not titled that just because they're in weird locations or, you know, racing through a desert or racing across a stream or racing through snow or, you know, different weather. It's not that because of that. It's called Wacky Races because of what the racers' cars could do.
Right.
And it's just an amazing show.
I agree. And I think that's what made it, you know, fun. You know, we had the music that was always going. You had different winners all the time. You had different hijinks all the time. You had a variety of people that you could either like or dislike. Everybody had their different favorites and their different, you know, people that they didn't like. So there's a little something for everyone, and it was always new, and it was never stale or boring.
Yeah. Getting into the legacy segment here. Of course, we already mentioned the spinoffs with Penelope Pitstop and the Anthill Mob were spun off into another cartoon series in 69 titled The Perils of Penelope Pitstop. In the same year, Dick Dastardly and Muttley were given a spinoff series titled Dastardly and Muttley and Their Flying Machines. The series is sometimes mistakenly known as Stop the Pigeon. After the show's working title and theme song, both series ran for two seasons. Of course, some of these characters will be reused because the new character of Mumbly, star of the 1976 Mumbly cartoon show, bears a strong resemblance to Muttley.
It is. It's the same character. I don't know what that was. Because Muttley became Mumbly, and there was at one point where the Dick Dastardly becomes, hold on, I'm gonna get it, the Dread Baron or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're the same character. Let's not be fools here.
Yeah, that's true. The other bit for the Baron, let's see. Who strongly resembles Dick Dastardly because the leaders of the who became the leader of the Really Rottens team in the Laugh Olympics cartoon, which featured three teams of Hanna-Barbera characters, including Mumbly's villainous Really Rottens team, Yogi Bear's Yogi Yahooey's team that consisted of many of his friends from Yogi's gang, and Scooby-Doo's Scooby Doobies. I'm sorry.
Which also included Captain Caveman.
Yes. Well, Scooby Doobies has a hidden meaning because just watch Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and you'll find out.
No, thanks.
Anyway.
And to prove that Mumbly and Muttley are the same character in the Latin American version of Laugh Olympics, Mumbly was credited as Muttley.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have Mumbly and Dick Dastardly going on. You have Captain Caveman who was created, who's basically a slag brother. Before Captain Caveman was invented, you had the Penelope Pitstop stuff and the Anthill Mob gang. So you just have a lot of stuff. And then you have a lot of similar types of shows. Like we said, Laugh Olympics, Yogi's Treasure Hunt, Yogi's Space Race. You know, there's been a lot of things that happen after this that resemble this format because it works so well.
Two of them really make me sad.
What?
In 1991, teenage versions of Dick Dastardly and Muttley appeared in the Yo Yogi series with Yogi Bear, Boo Boo Bear, Cindy Bear, Snagglepuss, and Huckleberry Hound. Oh, God.
Didn't like Yo Yogi?
No. In 2006, the pilot for a spin-off series titled Wacky Races Forever was produced for Cartoon Network. The series depicted a roster of both new and returning racers competing against each other. Penelope Pitstop and Peter Perfect had married and had created Perfect Industries, the corporate sponsor of the new Wacky Races, whereas their children, Parker and Piper, competed in the race. Other characters included the Slag Brothers, Professor Pat Pending, a teenage version of the Gruesome Twosome, and Dick Dastardly and Muttley working for a new villain named Mr. Viceroy, who sought to steal Perfect Industries. The series was not picked up by Cartoon Network. Thank God.
I don't know. It might have been cool. I could see a new version of this being successful, but it'd have to be done right. And we also, I forgot to mention, as well as Laugh Olympics and some of those other ones, Fender Bender 500 was another one that was very, very similar. Except instead of the Mean Machine, they had the Dirty Truckster. And that one included Yogi Bear, Winsome Witch, Quick Draw McGraw, and some other Hanna-Barbera stars.
Yeah.
Part of Wake, Rattle, and Roll, which was a 1990 series.
Yes. Let's see. As far as video games, there was produced in 1992 for the NES, IBM PC, ZX Spectrum, and Commodore 64, in which the player took the role of Muttley, sent on missions from Dick Dastardly to defeat the other racers. A Mega Drive / Sega Genesis game was also developed, but canceled before release. I would love to play this. I would love to play this because everyone wanted to be Muttley. I mean, yeah. Muttley was so damn cool.
Well, you could probably get the PlayStation 2 version.
Yeah.
Wacky Races starring Dastardly and Muttley. I know that's available out there. That also, the game, you know, we saw some new voices, obviously, since we're talking about later on.
Yeah.
Jim Cummings and Billy West and Scott Innes, Greg Berger, people coming in to do some of the other voices. And then there's also one called Wacky Races Mad Motors for the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
And back in 2007. It says a new video game for the Wii and Nintendo DS was released also in 2008. So there is some versions. It's apparently had a longer game life than it had a series life.
Yes. And of course, DVD release. It was Warner Home Video released the entire series with commentaries and other extras on DVD on October 26, 2004. Wait. There was 34 episodes? I thought there was only 17.
It's 34 races.
Oh, that's... Well, they put 34 next to episode number.
Yeah, I guess. It probably technically was, but they're really 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, the complete box set doesn't have any extras, though.
It doesn't?
Well, the one doesn't. The one that was the first one that was released, they're talking about. But then the Warner's Home Video that did their entire series has some commentaries and other extras.
Yeah.
So there's a couple different things that you can probably get your hands on. It says commentary, like a look back, like a retrospective documentary, a featurette on the spin-off shows, and then a like trivia track type thing that you've probably seen in other DVDs. I did want to mention that this show was one of the casualties of that dark time in cartoondom known as the 70s.
Yes.
This was one of several cartoon shows canceled in the late 60s, early 70s due to parental protests about excessive violence in children's programming. So this was one of the casualties of that movement.
Mm.
Boo to you guys. Come on, it's freaking Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
How about some race results?
Sure. We all know that Dastardly and Muttley never won a race.
Damn it.
That's easy.
But they always did give the first, second, and third placing finishings.
Yep.
And the all-time winners, as far as if you're doing this, like, this is based on like what most racing people do. I hate racing, but like, you know, you get certain points for first, second, and third places.
Right.
So if you were to award points like that based on their finishes.
Mm-hmm.
The person with the most points would have been the Bouldermobile run by the Slag Brothers.
Slag Brothers with 87 points.
Even though they only got first three times.
Yeah.
And there was some other people that got first four times. But Slag Brothers got second eight times.
Yeah.
That's more than any other. They had 14 top three finishes. And then they were followed, interestingly, by the Buzzwagon.
Rufus Roughcut and Sawtooth, yeah.
And then one of our favorites, the Anthill Mob, getting in there. I'm surprised that Sergeant Blast and Private Meekly were second last. They never got third place. They got third.
Well, I mean,
first place finishes.
Look at what they're driving, though. The Army Surplus Special. I mean, that's essentially a giant tank, and tanks are slow.
And Peter Perfect was not so perfect since he was third to the bottom.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. Maybe not a coincidence, though. The Slag Brothers car number. Is one.
Number one, yeah. It's rigged.
Whereas Dick Dastardly and Muttley were double zero. So, and it said, interesting note, to win, one did not actually need to be in one's assigned vehicle. All you had to do is the driver had to cross the finish line in some type of thing. Like, there was once where it was a flying carpet. There was one time where it was a giant ice cube. So, you know, then maybe they could even walk across. So
no, they were prohibited from doing that.
Oh, they're apparently, yeah, prohibited. Yeah. It says a DQ would result if a driver crossed the finish line in the wrong vehicle, though. So flying carpet, giant ice cube, okay. Walking, other vehicle, not good.
Not good at all. Yeah. So funny.
There was some times where there was some DQs, though, too.
Yep.
Dastardly got DQ'd quite a few times.
Yes, he did. As far as the cultural references, it appeared in Dexter's Parody of Wacky Races and the episode Dexter's Wacky Races, featuring the show's major cast members. A portion of the animated movie Scooby-Doo and the Reluctant Werewolf is loosely based on Wacky Races. In Reboot Season 3, the Binome Cyrus reboots as a parody of toy Dick Dastardly, and Frisket reboots as a parody toy of Muttley. An episode of Duck Dodgers, the title character turns himself into Muttley in the virtual reality game.
Pretty cool. Nice.
Life-size working replicas of the vehicles have been built in the UK and appear annually at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, with new additions each year. 2008 sees the last of the cars, the Ed Helm Lob and the Bulletproof Bomb, added to the collection, thereby becoming the complete set. I'm sorry, these cars look like crap.
They do. They do.
They look like crap.
Yeah. In the Dabadon episode of Harvey Birdman, the Ant Hill Mob appear briefly, shooting Mighty Midor from their bulletproof bomb, apparently carrying out orders from Fred Flintstone. Oh, my goodness. I mean, they've been in a lot of things. There's been references in Johnny Test, the Powerpuff Girls.
I mean, there's a lot of cultural references for this show.
Right. There's a episode of Batman, the Brave and the Bold that seems to take off of the Wacky Races.
That doesn't surprise me.
A pink version of the Bouldermobile shows up in the Flintstone Kids. So it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. So we are going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to close the show.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
Then let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one would be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How could we forget about the toys? We also do tour reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joe's, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
Welcome to my throne room, fugitives. The Beast Unleashed podcast is over, not gone. You can hear more of this great podcast discussing all the episodes of Beast Wars and Beast Machines on GeekCastRadio.com. We include voice actor and writer interviews with stellar hosting by Steve, Mike, and Michael. Head on over to iTunes, or the net, or else I will send you my vehicles to extract your spark and destroy you. Yes. You can now hear the KidCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear KidCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter KidCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code KidCast Radio when you register.
Chief Quimby here, and your assignment is to listen to Tooncast.
We are back. Final thoughts on the wacky races, sir?
It was just a really well-done thing by Hanna-Barbera. Obviously, you can tell how well it was done because there were so many spin-offs and so many shows that tried to emulate and copy the format. The music was good, the hijinks were good, the amount of people that you could watch, it never got old. There was always something different. I give a lot of credit to the writers and a lot of credit to the voice actors. This is a show that deserves a special spot, a special place in cartoon history. And it's really, I wish there was more shows like this these days. And I'm not just saying that in the old thing, like, oh, I wish there was more shows like the shows I grew up in.
Right.
Not just for that. I just wish there was more shows that had this kind of unique, just fun-loving format. It's hard to do it right, but if you could do it right, I think it would still be successful today.
I completely agree. Thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every one of our episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes, please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show in there is Tooncast Beyond. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. If you have a USB headset or a microphone with your computer, you can just go to the website on the right-hand side. There's a button that says Send Voicemail Now that will automatically send it to us. We hope you enjoyed this trip back in time here in Tooncast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be traveling to 1969 with Dastardly and Muttley. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Drat! One of them turned off. But we'll stop the rest of them when we blast the pass. You plant the dynamite, Muttley. And I'll give you the signal. What was that?